Ben Martin is joining us in our studio, Northfield City Administrator. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
You had a city council work session last night, and I wouldn't say it's all about redevelopment, but it was almost all about redevelopment. Most of the topics involve redevelopment. I want to start off with Loon Liquor is interested in purchasing the Northfield News Building, which the city owns, bought a couple of years ago. Why don't you give us, start off with just a little history of how the city got this, why the city got it, and I know the city's been trying to work with Loon for quite a while and getting some things together. So let's talk about that.
Sounds great. Really excited about this opportunity in our downtown and part of our overall redevelopment work. So the city of Northfield acquired some key properties in the downtown with the idea of safeguarding the sites for future redevelopment. The Northfield News Building in particular was an unusually large space in our downtown that had very minimal usage as an office space. Their new ownership came into that building and an opportunity came up to acquire that property. And the city felt that it was important to acquire that to help shape what maybe could be done in the building or the larger area for redevelopment, to again really, really try and activate it to its highest and best use as available. So we've been working with, we've been looking and exploring options. One idea early was if we ended up redeveloping on the existing liquor store site, there was a potential we might move to that building temporarily and then back. But as that project played out, we're really focused on 5th and Washington as the new liquor store site, and we're excited about that opportunity, which means that we are still figuring out then, okay, we still need to find an active use of this. We felt that something would come along, and Loon Liquors was interested and somebody we'd been working with for many years. I think it's emblematic of this relationship with Loon Liquors, of our commitment to working with local business, that really a lot of economic success is just working with people who are already there with your community. And so we've been developing relationships with them for many years because we know they've been heavily recruited by other communities in Minnesota and outstate, including interest from Wisconsin to try and draw them. The reason why is that a lot of communities like these types of businesses is distilleries offer a unique experience, and Loon Liquors in particular will be one of the few distilleries in the state of Minnesota to offer regular tours of its facilities. So they're really kind of committed to an experience, and that's why I think they wanted to go downtown, is because it was a win-win-win situation for their customers, for the downtown, for Loon, for the city, with our opportunity to activate this space to really make use of that building. I think that's a little bit of history of how we got to this point with them.
And I understand Mark Schiller, one of the owners of Loon Liquor, talked last night at the meeting, and his enthusiasm is contagious. I know that they have been working to purchase the post office for quite some time. They have wishes to do that. Unfortunately, the federal government doesn't move real quick. So this is a good opportunity for him. Tell us about what you heard, the presentation he gave last night.
Yeah, again, this business is about as local as it gets. Loon Liquor owners Mark Schiller and Simeon Rossi are both Northfield High School graduates who are further deepening their roots in our community. Another thing is, you think about their vision and what they talk about, they're really looking at also providing a unique educational experience featuring the tours, high quality alcohol, and non-alcoholic craft beverages. If you don't have to drink to go to their business off Armstrong Road and check it out, because they're really master cocktail people for non-alcoholic and alcoholic beverages, depending on what you like. They also have very limited food options out at their current facility, and they're looking at expanding into their food menu as well. Really trying to capture the pure kind of holistic farm-to-table dining experience with both its food and its beverages, and that's what they're looking to do. Pretty interesting information of just how much of their inputs, I think they said about 90% of their inputs into their products come within like a very close mile, like within like 10 miles of the city. Mark's going to probably get on me for making sure I get that quote exactly right and one of those percentages, but really, it's really, they work with the local ag industry as well, are supporting local farmers on their grains and other products that go into their, and they're basically just busting at the seams. They've had some products really take off on their distribution side, and I think they certainly envision that their cocktail room could be much more expansive and help their business grow along with the community.
Yeah, I'm sure as far as square footage goes, Northfield News Building is. It does have a lot of square feet in there compared to their current facility as well. You know, and that building, I've never really been through that building. I'm sure you have. And Rich, of course, used to work there, so he knows it very well. It's evidently, you know, I used to go in and there'd be a few offices and, you know, the counter there. And back in the day, it's been 15, 20 years since I've been in there. But you don't realize how far back that goes and how far over it goes. There's a lot.
That's right, and I'm not a historian on the building. I think it might be interesting to unearth what maybe some of that is, because I was also told there used to be a bowling alley in the basement of the Northfield News Building that was used.
Yeah, I think the bowling alley was the bowling alley upstairs and the supper club downstairs. I'm not really sure on that, but yeah, there's and evidently up until recent years there were still some lanes like hanging around in the basement.
There's some mantle, and it's a little bit dark down there, but there's going to be some additional due diligence taking a look at that building as part of the process. But from the outside, it's a little hard to tell, but you're right. When you go in that building, it's very long, and you know, I think it can be open. I think their vision is to open the building up as well. You know, it's got kind of a lowered ceiling, and they're looking to maybe kind of raise that back up and some other components, but that's all part of their due diligence process.
All right. We'll have to have them on, and we can talk more about those plans. In the meantime, you know, that's not the only. There's a lot of development proposals and ideas going on in downtown Northfield. You mentioned the liquor store on 5th and Washington. Was that discussed last night?
Yes, it was. So, this has been certainly part of the work that we've been doing at a staff level, but we've also been doing a lot of due diligence, both on the Water Street site, which we can come back to in a minute, as well as the 5th and Washington site. So the council, we had some discussions with them on that. We've been kind of working with looking at designs on that particular project and preparing ourselves to ramp up for really reactivating the design work on 5th and Washington. I think as a core service, core for the project in that area that we're looking at is the liquor store going there, with at least replacing the parking that would be lost with that and other projects in the area. But additionally, keeping the door open to looking at potentially adding additional parking, possibly adding some retail, some housing spaces. We did have an updated housing study, and I think the last proposal that we looked at, the type of housing with the smaller efficiency units and the price points, really the housing market that we initiated an update confirmed that that really wasn't a product that was out there on the market. So we need to rethink that. I think we came to that conclusion late in the last phase of taking a look at that project. But we also on 5th and Water talked a little bit about last night with the post office about should we continue to explore the post office potentially? That's another building with a lot of space in the downtown, a beautiful building. Architecture is really a unique enhancement or unique building in our historic downtown. But in working with the federal real estate people, there's a very rigid bureaucratic process to go through that could take 4 to 6 years potentially to get through it if we commit to doing that and taking a look at it. But the building's only used at about 30% capacity. So the interest would be from the post office that if they were to explore this opportunity of kind of an exchange, they would want to keep a location in the downtown to be able to move into. So the possibility could be, do we integrate that with the 5th and Washington site or have a space that could accommodate them if that plays out? So that was an area that we got more information on, I think, than that we didn't have the detail of that process that we would have to go through that we now formally understand. So that's kind of informing, do we design a space for that on 5th and Washington with the other work that we do? The other piece that I think on the grass-fed lane, which is kind of the alleyway in the backside there where we have the antique store, and a lot of people access the businesses off a division from that back parking area, we weren't really enthralled with where exactly that design was on that interior side of the building concept that we had on the last project. So we've been working with some kind of conceptual work just to say, how could that maybe look better? How could you maybe activate that space for, you know, people to be able to walk through there comfortably as well if we were to do the development? So I think that exercise helped us kind of prepare for that design process. So we're now going to be really initiating our design work to try and get going to ramp up a project to bring back. It's going to take some time, and we're going to need to bring some other partners to the table. And the council also is delegating this to, is planning to delegate next meeting, the Economic Development Authority to help kind of be an advisory board to the council. So they can really dig in and take a look at maybe what works best. We got business people on that board and community members. So it just gets another set of eyes, I think, to give some advice back to the council, where we can maybe work through some things and come back to them for some feedback, for the council to get some feedback on that. So we're excited about where it's going with 5th and in Washington design, and kind of will then help inform 5th and Water Street.
Mm-hmm. Once again, Ben Martig is with us. We are talking about right now downtown development. Let's go back to the post office. As I kind of commented before, the federal government doesn't always move real quick. Now, if you're planning for the new building, are they going to be able to get it together and say yes or no before we start building? How long is it going to take to get the go-ahead from the post office?
Great question. So the process itself, from the time that you would start it, probably till you have the building, it would probably be a 4 to 6 year process to go mm-hmm. through. Now, that includes, they want to have an alternative space, so that might mean if you found another alternative space that could just be modified, which isn't really available right now anyway. That takes time to design, to finance, to build, and negotiate agreements and all of that. So it's mm-hmm. it's a pretty long commitment. So I think that's part of the question is, do we have the commitment to see this through for a longer term attempt to really kind of have projects down in there in the building that would stay a historic building, but maybe gets actively reused as something different? And could the city help facilitate that to make sure it meets community values and interest of what we'd like to see there as a community? The last time around, I think decade plus ago, that this came up and was explored, the post office was actually initiating it because they were in a process of disposing of assets that they owned and combining. I think that one of the problems at the time there was there was no plan to what to reuse the building for. And I think it, from what I've heard of conversations from the post office officials and otherwise, that there was an effort to then keep the post office there, which they ended up staying. But I think that was one of the biggest problems, the uncertainty of what potentially could have been done there. So this would mean you take some time. I think to your point, Jeff, we did talk about that same question you had. Do you wait and have a larger project area? We own what we call the old Northfield, or the old Ameriprise building, and then the liquor store site, which we'd eventually be vacating here when we complete the 5th and Washington project. We'll have at least two properties there to do a development on. Or do we work and try and assemble, you know, and acquire some of the parking lot space and have more of an integrated development? I think the council's interested in both of those options and just don't really have the facts of which one probably makes sense to do. So we're also thinking maybe some concepts of what could be done on just the properties that we own or the other, and then explore which one makes more sense. And again, maybe the Economic Development Authority can help explore that. The other really exciting thing is there are building owners on the east side, so kind of what people might think of as the back alleyway. It's actually private property in the back, and then the building's off of Division Street. There's some ownership who have acquired some buildings back there and has a broader vision to actually activate that space on the backside of their buildings too, so which is some really cool ideas about how that kind of back alleyway might be able to be.
Which back alleyway? I'm getting a little confused here.
Sorry. So if you go if you're going up Fifth Street, mm-hmm. The liquor store, then you have the accountant's office, mm-hmm. And then there's kind of a little back entrance alley there. Okay. Off
sure.
of Fifth.
Okay.
If you go kind of down behind there, you got the Bierman's building, and then you've got a couple of other buildings on that side. That back alleyway, including the Robin's Egg building, there's some mm-hmm. ideas kind of with the ownership there. Might they activate that little back area too to be able to have some activated space? So
cool.
We want to make sure that we're looking at complementing the whole area. How does the scale work with the buildings and all of that? And I think that's what we're going to need to explore more. And I think the council's very interested in doing something right. So they're open to a project that maybe could happen, which is the ones we own. But I think they're also open to say it might be worth exploring a longer-term conversation with the post office. But we probably need more information. In the meantime, I'll kind of move on to one other topic, I guess, before we do, is knowing now that it's going to take some time to design and build the 5th and Washington and then kind of prepare. We could be figuring out what to do with the existing site. One question that's come up, we've had some people interested saying, could we use the Ameriprise building space? The upper level, the building's completely vacated now. And the upper levels that were housing units really aren't in a condition that we'd feel comfortable making available just based on their condition, and probably be quite a bit of investment for a building that we see being a demolition as part of a redevelopment project. But the main level space is a little bit compartmentalized, but is functional. We did have some pre-demolition survey work done, which you're legally required to do, so testing for asbestos and stuff. And we've got some basic things that you typically have. We do have some asbestos, but we could patch that back up because it's fairly invasive work that we did where you tear into the sheetrock and test it. But we could activate that space. So one another question that's come up is, should we, in the while we're waiting and working on options, should we try and activate it, maybe like we have with the Northfield News Building? Could you have some vendors in there? Market fair, potentially some artist type of work, or does the council want some office space leased temporarily? So I think the general feedback and consensus was the council of wanting to make sure ultimately that that space remains active and available for redevelopment, which is its primary purpose. So we don't want any long-term commitments that would tie that up. Secondarily, I think they said activating the space seems to make sense on the short period of time. Go forth through the EDA, explore some options, and come back to us on could that be used for something while we explore some other options going forward.
All right. Boy, a lot of things going on within downtown Northfield. Yeah. You know, some of those spaces in Northfield, is a lot of people would never even know that there are some of the spaces in between buildings and in back alleys and stuff, unless you've worked there or happened to wander down a dark alley sometime. You wouldn't even know it was there.
Let's not use the word dark alley. I think it's something that we should actually lean into as a community.
Agree.
It really is a unique experience. In fact, I like, there's the parking lot off of Washington. I like to kind of park there and then kind of go through the alley. There's kind of a unique little spot there where you go through the event center kind mm-hmm. of space. There's the bike shop in the back there. Like you said, the ice cream shop has been a huge hit. I would have never thought that would have worked. It's kind of back behind that building, but that's one of the busiest spots in the summertime, you know? So I think, like, the more we can kind of do that, I've never been to Europe, but I've heard some people say that that's some of the unique things that you experience in some of these older towns in Europe, where you're kind of wandering through and you kind of got to be a local to know where some of these cool spots are.
Yeah, absolutely. So good stuff. Once again, Ben Martin with us. We're talking about last night's work session, dominated by development stuff, as we mentioned last night, but did the council discuss anything else?
Yeah, a couple other things, probably not quite as flashy or exciting, I guess, but we, as part of our strategic plan, we've been taking a look at different departments as an analysis, at least one every year. So we're taking a look at my department, the administration department that offers services to the rest of the city to kind of provide management support. So it's our IT guys doing the tech to protect us from cyber attacks. It's our communication team talking about our projects. It's our finance department making sure the bills are paid and, you know, collecting our taxes and helping with the budget process. Our clerk's office who helps elections. Very important functions. And some of those are very much touching the community. But looking at our capacity and needs within that, we do have some succession planning that we're working with a key position in the office that's scheduled to retire, planning to retire in the spring of 2026. It'll open up some opportunities. So we took a look at some organizational structure stuff with that. The potential to add another IT person, potential for a budget analyst to help with some financial reviews as possibilities over the next 5 years. And then possibly re-kind of organizing internally some of the staff that we have to kind of shift people around in different roles to be able to add some extra focus on our communication side of things as well. So working on more details, but the council had some good input. We had a consultant assist with that, Baker Tilly. So that'll be coming back next meeting in May, for accepting the report. And they asked for a little bit more information as part of that related to communications area in particular. So we're excited about exploring that as well. The last piece that we talked about from the meeting was the it was about rules of business. And one of the areas that we're scheduled to do some updates that we do once a year typically is when we look at our council rules. Back in January, the council suggested some amendments to piece off some of the policies that were in there that didn't really talk about the actual meetings. It was more about how we interact with the attorney and some of those kinds of things. But another topic that's come up is the public comment. We offer, you know, a public comment at the meeting, at the beginning of the meeting on any topic, and then we also allow discussion on any agenda item. Some of the things we've heard more and more from people as we've listened to input, it's really important to gather input, is it's not really a two-way communication in the council meeting on a, in the public comment. And we're hearing people saying they'd like to have more meaningful back and forth on those where maybe their questions could be answered. Sometimes people might just want to know how something works, but sometimes they want to make a statement about something that's not on the agenda. So the council's been was discussing last night, could we do that differently? One idea was to have more of a open house kind of listening session type of a setting to start the meeting or a little bit before the meeting starts to maybe allow some more of that back and forth so that instead of standing there taking the information that people come to share with the council and then they leave and then staff or the council members follow up with them later, could there be some transactional things happening where maybe we can get people's answers right away, but still allow that opportunity to hear from residents about concerns? So they suggested that type of a format that kind of might be like a half hour before the meeting. We dedicate that time for that period, and maybe it's a little bit more, you know, conversational based, or if some people just want to share their thoughts, they can, or if they have a question about a street project, our engineer's there and he can go talk to them off on the corner while the council talks to other people. So that's, we're trying to find a different way to do that. So the council was receptive, and I think they might try it as kind of a trial run to let's try doing this shift to see if that's maybe received better from the community and maybe it can be more helpful for us with it.
Interesting. You've had Northfield tends to have a lot of people speak at their meetings for different things, a lot of different things, just about every different topic you could imagine. So good stuff. Do you see that happening? Are they will they have to vote on that, or is that something you can just change?
Yeah, no, we have adopted rules that we like to follow, so that would be scheduled for adoption next week, I think. I would say it's written in a way that allows it to be flexible about kind of how we do it, but the when, I think, because they even talked about, like, do we have chairs with kind of like seatings, do we stand there and kind of interact? It's going to be written in a way where the when we're going to do it, which would be before the meeting, and that the time period, we'll probably leave it flexible about how you do it. So as we kind of do it for a while, maybe you learn and tweak it and shift it, but don't have to amend the policy. Maybe eventually you want to kind of, if you land on something, maybe you want to be more specific. But I think they're looking at kicking this off at the next meeting for approving it, and then sometime in May, starting to try it out, test run it, see how it works.
All right. Sounds good. Anything else, Ben?
I don't think so. We are having a special meeting related to that sale of property on the 23rd of April at 6 o'clock p.m. So we'll have more details next week coming out about the sale details on the Loon Liquors building with Northfield News. And then we'll allow the public to weigh in or anybody else on the sale of property, which is required. And then potentially the council might even act that night to anticipate a due diligence period where Loon will probably be exploring some things, but more details on that to come, with the closing potentially this year if the details were all able to come together.
Are you able, how much is the transaction, the value of that? Do you, is that something you can disclose right now, or?
Maybe I wasn't clear enough, Jeff. That's what I was kind of alluding to, was next week those details will be coming to light.
Okay.
We're working on fine-tuning that, but we're excited about the partnerships and to share more details about what's the sale price, what did the city acquire it for, what's Loon looking at doing for an investment as part of this project. Details to come will be shared at that hearing. It will go out in the packet materials before, and we'll maybe try and get you guys, our media people, that information ahead of time.
Perfect. Thank you, Ben.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.